Everyone, welcome to Handing the Shame Back, a show dedicated to survivors across the world. These interviews are so important and they're so special, and you don't know who is watching or how, if you're a guest on the show, you're helping. And I think you're going to really love our guest today, and always so honoured that people are prepared to come forward and share their truth. As always, lovely ones, there's a trigger warning, and I have that because I don't want you upset or feeling traumatised through listening to someone's story. If that happens to you, stop watching, go to the show notes below, and you'll be directed to some resource and support. Our wonderful guest today is Tess Gonzalez. She's all the way from North Dakota. She's a Christian, she's a survivor, and she's an advocate. And my pleasure to welcome her. Hello.
Hi.
So, thank you for reaching out. Great that you wanted to be on the show, and in your own words, as little or as much as you're prepared to share, what was your experience of child sexual abuse, Tess?
Thank you for having me. Honestly, there is quite a bit that I don't remember. As I have been working on my journey, I was about 19 when I started becoming aware. And I'm 32 now. So it's been a good bit, but I still have a lot of healing to do. So I finally realized that I was blocking things out because there's a lot of my childhood I simply don't remember. And I've come to realize that I was born into a very abusive household, not just the sexual abuse, but there was the spiritual abuse aspect. There was some physical abuse, a lot of psychological. So it was very intense. I was raised by my mother. My parents divorced when I was about 2 weeks old. And so I have an older brother as well, my only sibling. And so we were born into a very toxic environment and raised by my mother, who is sadly very unstable. I remember, I guess the first things I really remember that hinted at sexual abuse was feeling like I had a sexual awakening very young, feeling like a very mini adult, as I've said before. I remember having incest dreams when I was between 6 and 7, and then again between 8 and 9. And they felt so vivid and lucid. And I've questioned as I've gotten older certain things that, you know, I would not doubt if I was drugged by my mother. It's really hard to look back at that. I had a lot of nightmares that are very abnormal for a child in a healthy environment to have, and things that reflected just heavy confrontation and toxicity with my family, my immediate family. And just things continued to pile up that I did not yet realize was sexual abuse or other forms. It just seemed so normal to me until I was removed out of the environment, thankfully, by the state. And I went into residential treatment about 3 weeks before my 17th birthday. I was diagnosed with bipolar at about 15, and I was hospitalized a lot for just kind of going off the deep end. And I realized that being in the hospital became a place of solace and comfort, just being away from home. And I could not understand that so young.
So pretty traumatic, and as you alluded to, the not just, as is often the case, it's often not just sexual abuse. can be, you know, the emotional, spiritual, physical as well, psychological. Yeah. So, Tess, do you have any recall of who it was that did sexually abuse you?
Yeah, it was primarily my mom, and then she groomed my brother. She abused us both. And my brother actually recently admitted that. Unfortunately, we're not currently talking, but that's another story. But he did finally admit to me that he was abused in that way by our mother. And so he was groomed and acted out on me as well. So I'm kind of facing it on both sides from my only family. But I thank God that I had my grandmother, who was my mom's mom, and she was incredible. She was my saving grace through that time.
Yeah, I'm so pleased you're here too. That's amazing. So, Tess, you know, just having it from all sides, it would never have felt very safe at all for you being at home. And was your brother, was he 2 years younger than you or 2 years older? I can't quite recall what you said he was.
He's about four and a half years older.
He's older, yeah. And so do you believe that now that you do have recall, do you believe when you talked earlier about the incest dreams between, you know, 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, were they reflective of what you went through at that time, would you say?
I believe so. I really do. Like I said, there's a lot I blocked out.
Of course.
But oddly enough, I have always been, and I've shocked therapists that I've seen with how intuitive I've been and how I've been able to know myself well and gather information, which is obviously a trauma response. It's a, you know, a survival mechanism. You collect as much as you can to keep yourself safe.
Yes.
So I believe so.
Yes.
I remember dreams of my mom where she would insert objects into me, and and she would also use them on herself while using them with me. And it's hard to talk about because
you don't need to go into detail. Honestly, I don't want to traumatize you at all. No, I was just wondering if the reason I asked you that question, and please
sure.
take a deep breath, and I'll rabbit on. We'll get you back to where you were. Is that, you know, sometimes our minds are so powerful, aren't they? And they really do indicate what was a deep truth for us. And so I think, you know, congratulations, your mind actually has vindicated you. And I don't know if you've ever seen that in that way, but I just want to honour you, because that's really powerful, is a recognition and a vindication and a validation for you. So well done, Tess. And you're not alone. There's a lot of amazing survivors watching. Hello, lovely ones, who cannot remember anything, but they know without a shadow of a doubt that something went on. So thank you for your courage in that. You know, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because you had a wonderful grandmother who you had some safety and respite with. And, you know, just because this is important too, what sort of things were you, or would she do with you? Did she get you to help knit or bake or garden, or what sort of things were you able to do with her?
She would just, she lived in town, you know, and my mom lives in town too. So that really makes me want to move now that my grandma has passed. But she, anytime we'd visit, I mean, she'd feed us. She'd be such an amazing host and a loving, like, I considered her my mother.
Yeah.
And it just, she was awesome. And when I would get sick, like if I'd go into the hospital because I was having trauma episodes, which was my bipolar episodes. You know, I see it as trauma now.
Yes.
She would let me stay overnight, you know, sometimes two nights. And I distinctly remember how she, when I was 15, she would even then tuck me into bed. And, you know, obviously there was nothing wrong. She never hurt me. And so it just blew my mind how she was so loving. And she'd read the Bible with me and she'd pray with me. And I miss her so much. Like, there is usually not a day that goes by that I don't think of her. And she was just, I've always considered her to be like, everybody loved her and everybody should have a grandmother like her. She was amazing. So she was my rock.
I'm so happy. And I don't know what you think, Tess, but there's a little school of thought out there that says that when we think of our loved ones that have passed, they're right with us. So I think that's beautiful. So she's clearly with you a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's lovely. And, you know, of course, having bipolar and being hospitalized, and although it felt like a respite, it would also, I imagine, as a child and teenager, felt quite confusing too, because bipolar by its very nature means, you know, you're either feeling you can't do anything or you can't stop. Very bad explanation I'm giving, but you're the expert on it, having it. So, yeah, how was that for you in terms of, having that as a diagnosis?
It was, when I went in, it's because I finally hit a manic episode. And it's so upsetting that when, well, knowing I had to be treated on medication, that was very upsetting for me. And I'm sure you can imagine, you know, I'm at that tender age of 15. I like subconsciously think that, okay, things are going on. It was coming to a head that like I was casting accusations according to my mom, but there was that truth that was coming out and I kind of finally snapped. So I was hospitalized when I was 15 for about a month. They were trying to figure out everything. They were trying to find the right medications. It was so stressful to me. In some ways, I was feeling such numbness and helpless and hopelessness. Like, it was very painful.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it was confusing. My mind did not make sense. I could not comprehend like the basic thoughts. And all I knew was that I was scared. And I knew that there was things going on, but I could not prove them, you know, because here you are, you're accused of being crazy. And, you know, it's hard to piece that together when your mind is, you know, it's just going everywhere, you know, when you're not medicated.
Of course.
So it was tough.
And also it suited the narrative from your mother's perspective too, because if
yes.
you're labelled as crazy, then there's no responsibility or pressure. And yet look at you now, you've come through, and that's so amazing.
Yeah.
So Tess, you're, you know, 2 weeks old, your mum and dad split.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a relationship with him after that point? Can you?
Yeah, it's sad for me too, because I still have the father wounds, but we are reconnecting now. He's still kind of not the best father in the world. I definitely wouldn't nominate him for that.
No.
But I don't know all the things he went through with my mom, so it's hard to say, but I can imagine. And with the instability of my mom and how scary she can be, I understand now more than ever why he kept like fleeing, literally. He would keep moving further and further away. And I believe it wasn't as much to do with us now as it was my mom. And that really helps put things into perspective for me, because even though it hurts like hell, I don't know if curse words are allowed, so like heck.
I've heard a few words.
I didn't know.
I've said a few words. You're fine.
Thank
this
you.
This is safe, something like.
Yeah, it really hurt because for the longest time, and sometimes still, that hurt can flare up because I needed a father. There's something about having a father, I think, for both males and females, boys and girls. There's just that need for that safety feeling that you can get from a father. And while there was some level of abuse, I don't believe it was ever sexual. I don't recall anything like that. And so it was more the neglect, the rejection, and then the few times that I would see him, he was unstable too. He wasn't on medication. He could have blow-ups, like very scary blow-ups. He'd be screaming, he'd threaten. And that was when I was really young. So that was hard. But I'm working my way towards forgiveness. And right now, even though it's disappointing that we don't talk the way I would like, I realize that as I've healed and I'm stronger than before, even though I have my breakdowns, that I'm forgiving. I'm on the path towards forgiveness. And that makes me really happy. That I'm not as hurt, that I am understanding his thought process and why he may have really run. Because I do believe that my mom had threatened his life. She tried to kill us. And yeah. So I don't blame
him. Just before we get into that, you know.
Yes.
And that's you know, clearly important for you that you have that reconnection and rebuild that. And Tess, you know, honour that in you. And for survivors watching it, if you feel moved to do any of that, do that. If, however, it doesn't feel right, that's okay too. You don't have to do anything. But Tess, I am going to pull you up on something. You're going to love it. It's actually a sign of strength to have what you call your breakdowns or times when we don't cope as well. That, again, to me, is just a vindication or validation that this happened and that trauma does what it does, and we don't know at what time it's going to appear in our lives and re-trigger us or re-traumatize, and that's okay. So it's actually a sign of strength, I think, to allow it and acknowledge it, and certainly not at all weak, which is what sometimes I think perpetrators like your parents, or you know, your mother specifically,
yes,
would have turned that on you. And I can understand that, and our survivors to watching will have been made to feel bad and wrong and oh so weak because you might have cried or felt very vulnerable. So here's to survivors, you know, amazing and beautiful hearts that you all have. Tess, as you're, you know, thinking about that, having grandmother as safe, how was school for you and other people in the community? Was that an okay place to be?
It was really sad because I was unable to fit in with my peers. I was so trying to think of the words here. I was so grown up, forced to be grown up for my age and seen so much that at that point I related better to adults. I felt safer with other adults outside the home. And I just felt so left out anyways by peers. I felt like I was looked at as some kind of freak. So it's like on one hand, you see that I'm very mature for my age. And then on the other flip side, very age regressed in other areas. Like, not that I went into an age regression, to clarify, but just that I was emotionally stunted, I like to say now, because there was just things that were so torn and ripped from me that I didn't get to have that normal age progression. And so I see now, even as a 32-year-old, there's times where I can still feel very immature. And I'm trying to have grace for myself for that, because I know that, you know, everything that I went through, how I had to basically, I heard this term parentify, basically. So like, I had to do that for my mom. I was made to fit so many freaking roles for her, because she was a child that never grew up. She had her own trauma, and I'm not excusing that at all. Very mad that she didn't get help and she's not, you know, acknowledging certain things still. She is in therapy. But yeah, in the community, I guess school, I never fit in. And that was all the way through high school. I don't miss my school years, but I did like a lot of the teachers. I think they, you know, I loved academics. I think they saw that I really took school seriously. So we got along great. And meanwhile, I'd see a lot of my peers and they'd be like sloughing off. So I took my academics as a source of pride, because I was able to have that strength in the midst of hell that was my home.
100%. But equally as well, isn't it amazing having a positive school experience with the adults, with the teachers, means that you were able to find a glimmer, I imagine, of, there's something good about me. Yay. Teachers are amazing, amazing. But
very much so.
But good ones. You know, and I think too, if we don't have that as a child in any way, it's really been hard to have any sense of self or feel any sense of self-worth. So I'm pleased that it happened. The other thing too, of course, is that because you were obviously seeing your dad through those years as well, as a custody arrangement, I imagine. Did either of your parents have partners or husbands and wives?
My dad does. I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but he remarried and got engaged numerous times. And I don't judge, but I think that's more reflective of his trauma as well. But yeah, he remarried quite a few times after my mom. And yeah, so he's currently been with the same woman now for their 14th anniversary. But my mom, she never did. I don't know her reasons why. She did say at times that it was a religious thing, that she wanted to be pure and not sleep around. And I'm not going to touch that one, because I have no proof and I don't want to judge my mom's journey at all. But she never did remarry.
Okay. And that's what that is. But hey, Tess, we're going to leave part one there. Stay right there, please. And audience, you know, it's really interesting what Tess has already said. There's so many things here and so many threads. And I think I just want to come back to, you know, one of the hallmarks of being a survivor is that we do feel different. We don't always feel that we fit in. So, you know, if you're one of those people who at times you don't feel you fit in, or you're feeling different, welcome, you beautiful soul, because you're in a survivor community that totally gets what you're seeing. So as always, lovely ones, I see you, I stand beside you, and I believe you.